Well, I would appreciate your prayers this morning. The Lord would bless our time together looking into His Word. I've written on the board the words in number, God's Got Your Six. It might seem like an unusual title, but I'd like to explain the origin and the meaning of that. And I pray that it'll, Lord, bless your soul as He's blessed mine this week. As I was seeking the Lord, it seemed like He so encouraged my heart with these thoughts, and I pray that it'll be an encouragement to you this morning. This phrase is an idiom that originated in World War I, not the full phrase as written, but I've got your six. Is an idiom that originated among the pilots of World War I. As they were flying their missions, it came to hold a deep significance to those pilots in matters of life and death. The saying stuck and is used still today in military circles and police force and things like that. If you imagine yourself with a clock on the ground around you, and you're right in the middle of it, right in front of you is the number 12. To your right is the number 3. To your left, the number 9. And directly behind you, the number 6. Whenever the pilots were flying, especially in the primitive aircraft and instruments that they had at the time, they were especially vulnerable from behind. And one pilot would radio to another, as you're flying your mission, I want you to know I've got your six. I've got your 6 o'clock covered. I've got your back. It's okay. You go on and focus on your mission. Don't worry about what's behind you. Where you're most vulnerable, where you're most susceptible to attack, I want you to know that I've got you covered. I'm taking care of that. And it's still, again, used today outside of pilots to mean that I've got your back. I'm watching out for you. I've got you covered where you may not be able to see yourself immediately behind you, where the enemy would try to sneak up behind you and work his way in to launch a surprise attack. I want you to know I've got your six. I've got your back. You're covered. Well, that has a lot of meaning to somebody in the battlefield. That's not the realm of our warfare, but we are nonetheless involved in a battle. And there is an adversary that is intent on destroying every one of us. Isn't it good to know that your back's covered? Isn't it good to know that you're not in the battle alone? And I'll tell you, I find great encouragement from my brothers and sisters in the Lord. I find great comfort in knowing that they're praying for me. And knowing that I can pick up the phone and call somebody that'll go to their knees in prayer on my behalf and my situation. I'm so thankful for the love of the saints. But I'm going to tell you more than that. There are places that you may not be able to go with me. There are battles that I may be in that you don't even know about. And I hope you're praying for me anyway. But I'm going to tell you how much more meaningful is it even to know that the Lord has my back. And I'd like to start in Isaiah, the 52nd chapter. Isaiah 52, we'll begin in the 7th verse. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, Thy God reigneth. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, with a voice together shall they sing. For they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Break forth into joy, sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord hath comforted his people, he hath redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord, now get this picture, the Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Depart ye, go ye out from thence. Touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her. Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. For ye shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight, for the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rearward. Oh, what beautiful promises for the people of God. You know, the promises of God's word are for every individual. Salvation is available for every soul. But you know, to enjoy the benefits of his promises, there's a condition for me as well. I've got to be his child. I've got to be in the place that he said here, go ye out from them, from the heathen. Don't bear the unclean things and the uncleanness of their ways. Don't touch any unclean thing. And see the salvation of our God. The Lord is going to go before you. And you're not going to have to be put to flight. You're not going to have to be just running for your life, defeated. But the Lord will go before you. He'll show you the way that you don't know, the way that you haven't been before. What a blessing to know that the Lord has gone before us. He knows the way that we take. He knows what lies ahead of us. You and I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know what the next moment holds. And there are times that I'm thankful that I don't know what tomorrow holds. But the Lord holds it. I know who holds the future. And I know he's holding my hand. Thank the Lord that he goes before us. Well, isn't that the most dangerous position? The front lines. The very first one to come in contact with whatever kind of adversary may be ahead of you. You'll send your very best ahead. Well, you can't get any better than this. That the Lord said, I'll go before you. But he said, I'm also going to be your rearward. I'm also going to come along behind you. I want you to know, he's saying, that I've got your back. I want you to know that I've got you covered. That you don't have to run in fear. That you don't have to cower in unbelief. But go forward, he says. Go forward. And know that I stand between you and the enemy that is before you. And I stand between you and the enemy that would come behind you. Oh, thank the Lord that he is able to be in more than one place at once. He is omnipresent. He's able to go before us and go behind us and surround us on either side. Well, what a promise, and a promise that is available for us today. I'm going to go before you and I'll be your rearward. Let's get what we're here in Isaiah, the 58th chapter. Isaiah 58 and 8, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy rearward. Well, I want to get connected to that, an account from the Old Testament found in Exodus, the 14th chapter. One that you recognize, no doubt be familiar with. Exodus 14. The story here, of course, whenever the children of Israel were called out of Egypt. And they went out of Egypt and they had their sights set to go to the promised land. And as they got not very far along their journey, there's, as I imagine, a dust cloud that is seen behind them. And they know what that means. Oh, Pharaoh's at it again. He's changed his mind again. He's coming for us. And you can imagine the fear that would well up within you. And they're looking at what lies before them, and they've been brought right to the brink of the Red Sea. Well, there's nowhere to go. And Pharaoh's closing in behind me with his chariots and his army, and they mean business. This is it for us. You know how our minds begin to work, and the enemy's right there to play out the very worst scenarios in our minds. But the Lord was there. And folks, in our lives, we can never take Him out of the equation. When we look at what we can see with our eyes, it will always spell defeat. Whenever I account me against the enemy. But I've got to remember that God is the one that fights for us. So as we read here, the army closing in behind them, and it says in the 19th verse that the angel of the Lord, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. Thank the Lord. The Lord is not limited. The Lord isn't just our defense in the front. But when the enemy closes in behind us, the Lord is our rearward. He is our defense. He stands between us and whatever it is that would mean our spiritual destruction. So as He was leading them, they didn't go of their own whim. The Lord called them out of Egypt. The Lord led them out of that place. Folks, where the Lord leads you, He will not leave you. The Lord will go, but if the Lord goes before us, we can know that the Lord will come along behind us as well. Whenever the enemy tries to close in and he tries to bring fears and doubts and things from the past, things from behind us, that would try to crowd in and overwhelm like a flood. What did he say? When the enemy shall come in like a flood, you'll be destroyed. No. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. You cannot go any further than this. I stand between you and my child here. Nothing can touch him except it pass through his hand. The angel of God removed from in front and stood between them. And you can read that it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, to the Egyptians. But it gave light by night to these, the Israelites, so that the one came not near the other all night. No matter what their plans were, no matter what they intended to do to the Israelites, they were halted in their tracks. They can't go any further. They can't fulfill their plans anymore. They were stopped right where they were. The Israelites couldn't have done that, but the Lord God did. Thank the Lord for the angel of God. Thank the Lord that He lifts a standard. Whenever we are following the Lord, whenever we are walking in obedience to Him, folks, we can know that the Lord has got us surrounded. He's got your six. He's got you covered. And as we know the story of the Israelites, when it was time, what was the message God gave them? Turn around and go back with them. Tell my people that they go forward. I've not called you here to leave you here. I've called you here to lead you on to a promised land. So go forward. It doesn't matter if it looks impossible. You move forward now. Now the Lord's leading them again. He's in front of them leading them, and He's behind them protecting them. And the Lord led them on despite the plans of the enemy. Let's look at Zechariah, the second chapter. I want to think for a little bit about the heart and the mind of God towards us. Zechariah 2 and 8 says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath He sent me unto the nations which spoiled you," or plundered you. For he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. Do you hear in this the possessiveness that the Lord feels to his people? You're my child. You belong to me. Remember, Jesus said in the scene of the final judgment found in Matthew, I believe, 25. He said to those on his right hand, "Blessed are ye. When I was sick, you visited me. And when I was naked, you clothed me. And in prison, you visited me." However those were. And he said to those on the left, the very opposite. "When I was naked, you didn't clothe me. When I was hungry, you didn't feed me. For as much as you've done it unto the least of one of these, you've done it unto me." That's how personal the Lord feels towards us. He that touches you touches the apple of my eye. Well, there are this idea in a temporal sense, someone having your six, they're going to come to your defense. Maybe it's family member. It doesn't matter what happens to you. If an attack on one is an attack on all. If they touch you, they're touching me. You know the Lord feels that way? He that touches you is touching the apple of my eye. And folks, when the enemy messes with God, he's in trouble. The Lord feels a protectiveness and a watchfulness as a hen doth her chicks, he said. A mother doth her child. "I could never forget you," he says. The Lord is watching out for us. I'd like to look at 2 Chronicles now. Second Chronicles, the 13th chapter. After the dividing of the kingdom, after Solomon, Judah, Israel, dividing of the kingdom, the king of Israel turned from God, rebelled against him. I'd like to pick up a little bit of this account found in the 13th chapter of 2 Chronicles. It says here, "Now you think to withstand," it's Judah speaking unto Israel, "you think to withstand the kingdom of the Lord in the hand of the sons of David. And ye be a great multitude, and there are with you golden calves, which Jeroboam made you for gods." Oh, how far he's come now. He's abandoned the God of Israel, the God of his father. Turned from him and instead made golden calves and said, here's your gods. And he went out to battle against Judah, who was fearing the Lord and seeking the Lord. And he went out with a number, if you read here, that doubled the number of the army of Judah. They came with an overwhelming force and power against Judah. But he said here, "You've taken golden calves and been made for you." The 10th verse, "As for us, the Lord is our God, and we have not forsaken him. The priests which minister unto the Lord are the sons of Aaron, and the Levites wait upon their business. They burn unto the Lord every morning and every evening, burn sacrifices and sweet incense," and tells of the things that they did of the order of the Lord. But it says, "But ye have forsaken him. Behold, God himself is with us for our captain, and his priests with sounding trumpets to cry alarm against you. O children of Israel, fight ye not against the Lord God of your fathers, for ye shall not prosper." But Jeroboam, the evil king of Israel, caused an ambushment to come about behind them. So as he's talking and proclaiming this unto the children of Israel and their army, "You've forsaken the Lord your God. The Lord is our captain." Old Jeroboam had an army. He had a strategy here. He had a plan. He had something laid out to be able to ensnare and take them. Right in the message of their victory. Folks, look out when you think you stand, lest you fall. Even in moments of victory, thank the Lord for what He's done. I'm following the Lord. Folks, the enemy at that very moment might be trying to come in behind and bring an ambushment where you're not even looking out for him. And that's what he did here. He sent an ambushment behind them so that they were before Judah and behind them. And when Judah looked back, behold, the battle was before and behind. And they cried unto the Lord. Well, who else would you cry unto but to your captain? They cried unto their captain. And the priests sounded with the trumpets. Then the men of Judah gave a shout. It's not time to give up. It's time to give a shout. It's not time to turn and run. It's time to declare the victory by faith in the Lord. They gave a shout, and as the men of Judah shouted, folks, sometimes our victory comes when we claim the victory. Whenever we thank the Lord for it. Whenever we praise the Lord for it. And I may not feel it, and it seems like the enemy is right in front of me, and the enemy is right behind me. What did he say to Jehoshaphat whenever they saw the enemy coming in? He said, send singers out before to praise the Lord and worship the beauty of His holiness. And as they sent the singers out, the Lord fought the battle for them. So as they gave a shout, it said, it came to pass that God smote Jeroboam and all Israel before Abijah and Judah. Oh, the Lord fought their battle for them. Whenever the enemy came around before and behind and closing in, you ever feel in a straight? You ever feel things just closing in on you? And it seems like things are just getting darker and darker, and doomsday is right before you. Oh, folks, cry out to the captain of your salvation. Lift up your voice unto the Lord. Worship and praise and thank the Lord even when you don't feel like it. For He is worthy. For He is there. He is present. He cares about you and me. The Lord then fought the battle for them because He was their rearward. It didn't matter that the enemy snuck up behind him. The Lord was back there too. And the Lord was up here too. They couldn't pull one over. What was it against Elijah and Israel? One place, the enemy, I forget the name now. He was planning the battle against him, and every strategy just came unraveled. They'd lay siege over here, and they'd lay siege over there, and they would plan and plot and lay it out according to strategy, perhaps perfectly. And to the point he started to wonder. Every time I get over there, someone's already told him. And he started looking around and saying, who's betrayed us here? Who's taken our secrets down there to Israel? And they said, oh king, there's a prophet over there in Israel. And the God of heaven tells him in his bedchamber what you whisper. How are you going to fight against a God like that? How are you going to conquer His people when He can foil your every plan? I want us this morning, and I believe the Lord wants us to be encouraged. Whatever battle you might be going through, whatever pressure of the enemy you might feel closing in around you, the Lord's watching over us. The Lord's got your six. He's got your back. Psalms, the 34th chapter. Psalms 34, beginning in the 7th verse. Let's start with the 6th. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. We had a while back at work some training for active shooter and how to try to keep the place secure and how to respond the best you can and react. And the sheriff that was there with us said, look, if someone comes in here and starts shooting, at best, We'll be on site in, I think he said, around 90 seconds. We'll get there just as quick as we can. When we hear that call and we start getting them in one after another, we'll all dispatch to that place. But it's going to take us about 90 seconds. And he said, statistically, most of the damage has already been done by that time before we ever show up. Folks, the Lord is not 90 seconds away. I know we heard this morning about waiting on the Lord. Folks, when we wait on the Lord, when we cry out to the Lord, it may look that He's look like I don't see the answer. I don't see the path through the sea. But know this, the angel of the Lord is camped all around those that fear Him. He's right on hand. He's not on the other side of the city. He's there watching over us. And delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Folks, I'm going to tell you, trusting in the Lord is not a legalistic rule book. Trusting in the Lord is the greatest privilege available to us, to put ourselves in the hands of Almighty God, the one that has us before and behind, and nothing catches Him by surprise. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye His saints. For there is no want or lack to them that fear Him. The lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. 14th verse, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. The Lord, well, let's read here in Psalms 121. 121, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. Oh, I think of another psalm that says, a horse is a vain thing for safety. It may be the strongest that you have at that time. It may be the best weaponry that you can bring to bear in the battle, the strongest defenses that you have, the strongest offensive weapons that you have, they're a vain thing to put your trust in. But oh, when we trust in the name of the Lord. Folks, there's, it says, I'll lift up mine eyes to the hills. That's where my help comes from. It doesn't come from my own ability. It doesn't come from my chariots and my horses and from man, it comes from the Lord. He said, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. So when someone comes along and says, I got a horse for you. Folks, I say, I don't need it. Thank you. Thank you, but my help comes from the Lord. And I'm waiting for Him. And He will come and He will deliver. All the Hebrew children said, our God is able to deliver us from this burning fiery furnace. He's able. But guess what? Trust says, even if He doesn't, it doesn't change things. Even if it doesn't turn out the way it seems to me like it should, it doesn't change who God is. It doesn't change the power that He holds. It doesn't change the care that He has for us. It is safe to put ourselves in the hands of God. It is safe to trust the Lord. Oh, we're not careful to answer you in this. Our God is well able, folks. The Lord is still the same today. He is not diminished. There's no half-life of the power of God where over time it lessens more and more. The Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is still able to deliver to the uttermost. He is still able to protect and to keep His children. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. You're not going to get an out-of-office message when you call upon the Lord. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. this God, the captain of our salvation and our rear guard. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. He never nods off. In other words, there is never a time when the enemy is able to sneak something by the Lord. He might be able to by me if I'm not waiting on and fixing my eyes on the Lord. But he can never sneak one past the Lord. He can never get something worked in and the Lord, whoa, where'd that come from? The Lord sees it. He doesn't slumber or sleep, and his eye is watching over. His ear is open unto our cry, and his eye is over the righteous. So when this poor man cries, it may seem and feel like, well, all I can do is pray. That's all I need to do. It's not a handicap somehow that well, I guess the last resort, a position of weakness. When I am weak, then am I strong. Whenever I realize that my salvation is of the Lord and not of myself, then am I strong. Am I able to tap into the strength and the might of He that fights for Israel and keeps Israel? Romans, the 8th chapter, says, if God be for us, you name it, who can be against us? If God be for us, what situation can be against you? What circumstance of life is it that you just will not be able to overcome? Our God is able to keep us from the defilement of the world. He is able to keep us from sin. He came to deliver and to set us free. And I would challenge or encourage anyone who believes the idea that you can't help but to sin every day. Which sin is it that our God is not able to keep us from? Which defiling influence of the enemy is our God not able to give us grace to be able to rise above? What part of Satan is God not able to resist? No, in ourselves we're hopeless. But through our God, who can be against us? Folks, I pray that the Spirit of the Lord will personalize this today to you and to me. Because I don't know what you're going through, but the Lord does. And He's set a camp around you. He's set a watch about you. And He doesn't slumber or sleep. He said, I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Whether we see it or whether we don't. You remember the servant of Elisha? I believe it was. Whenever he looked up and he saw the enemy all around. And it looked like a hopeless situation. What are we going to do? There's more of them than there are with us. And no. More there are that be with us than that be with them. What are you talking about? Look at us. We're nothing against them. Oh, Lord, open His eyes. And I pray today, the Lord, open our eyes. It's one thing to know it and to hear it and even to be able to tell someone else, oh, the Lord's got grace for you in this. He's got victory for you in this. Our God is able, but suddenly, whoa, it's me. Suddenly the emotions and the feelings and the darkness is closing in on me. And I don't feel it and I don't see it. And I start to become afraid and I start to get this panicky feeling inside. And the Lord says, open your eyes. Lift it up, look. And suddenly a servant's eyes were open and he saw something he hadn't seen before. Oh, the Lord hadn't gone away. The Lord's not on vacation. The Lord's not off asleep somewhere. The hosts of heaven are encamped round about you right this moment, waiting for the command of the captain. Whatever the captain says, it's enough. In your situation, maybe the battle has gone on for a long time. But I'm going to tell you, by faith we can know that the host of the Lord is encamped round about us. And for whatever reason that the Lord has held them, But the moment when the Lord says, it's enough, they've been in this battle long enough, go get them. Go deliver them from this battle. Folks, there's nothing that can stand between the hosts of heaven. It changed the picture completely. And if we, through eyes of faith, will be able to see that God's got our back, don't worry. You know what that phrase tells someone that's in the line of danger? Focus on what you're doing. Focus on what you're called for. Don't be distracted. I've got your back. I've got what you can't see. You know, the enemy would like to hold us in bondage through guilt and accusation and fears that would crowd, well, what if this? Well, what if that? Well, what if the Lord has left you? What if the Lord has forsaken you? Oh, leave that with the Lord. The Lord is mighty enough and loving enough. Paul said, if in anything we're otherwise minded, the Lord will reveal that unto us. So I can rest in the Lord. I can trust in the Lord. I can know that the battle is the Lord's. And remember that the God, the captain of our salvation, who is our rearward, stands between us and our past. Whatever our past includes and encompasses, if we've brought that to the fountain of Jesus' blood, folks, He stands there in between. Whatever the enemy may try to bring back in and may try to accuse us with and bring fears, oh, you deal with my rearward back there. I'm leaving that with the Lord. I'm focused on moving forward. The enemy would like to get us cowed down in a corner, and I'm skittish and I'm scared and I don't know where to go and I don't know what to do and I can't prosper and I can't go forward in my walk with the Lord. And the Lord wants us to know, I've got your back. You go forward. Trust in me. Put your faith and your confidence in me. Be still and know that I am God. Lord, help us. Zechariah, the second chapter, also said that he would be a wall around us. Zechariah 2 and 5. For I, saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. You remember Job had a hedge that the Lord put about Job. And the enemy is complaining about it. Well, you put a hedge. I can't touch him. The enemy acknowledged, where you put a hedge, I cannot cross. I can't get to him. Oh, the song says, nothing can touch me except it pass through his hand. There's another song, Never Alone. It says, number 489, second verse. It tells us the world's fierce winds are blowing, temptation sharp and keen. Oh, but I feel a peace in knowing my Savior stands between. He stands to shield me from danger when earthly friends are gone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. The song we sang earlier in the service too says, He surrounds me like a wall. Yes, He is my all in all. Folks, I want us to be encouraged today in the God of our salvation. Folks, He is able and He cares. He's watching over us. And His message of belief to us this morning is, I've got your back. He is a wall about us. And I am so thankful and pray that the Lord will encourage each one of us in the love, in the protection that the Lord offers to each one of us. You pray for me. Amen.